Hello, warriors. Welcome to A Spiritual Warrior, a podcast that helps faith-based individuals mature spiritually through the Word of God, prayer, and application. I'm your host, Shatoya Antoine, and I pray that this episode blesses you. So let's get started.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. Thank you all so much for tuning in once again for our time of devotion and prayer. We are on part two of our Hills and Valleys series, so we will go ahead and get started. Last week, we talked about identifying what season you are in, whether that be a season of hills, a season of valleys, and knowing also that being in a valley season doesn't necessarily equate to a down season. So last week we talked a lot about the valley season. So today I want to dig a little bit deeper into the meaning and symbolism of hills, and we'll get to valleys as well. So if we look at what a hill is a place. A hill is a piece of land that rises higher than everything surrounding it. Since they're actually higher than everything that's around them, hills are also a good place to have a nice view. So when you're positioned on a hill, you are able to have a better view than being positioned a little bit lower. Hills are easier to climb than mountains. They are less steep and not as high. But like a mountain, a hill will usually have a summit point as well, which is its highest point. We know the hills are lower than mountains. They have an incline, they have a slope. So just kind of thinking of it from a visual standpoint, and also looking at it from a historical perspective or even the historical significance of it. So many settlements were originally built on hills, and it was either to avoid floods, particularly large bodies of water surrounding it, or for defense, which is something that was very key and that stood out to me, or to be able to avoid any forest-like areas that are surrounding it. So if we continue to look at it from a historical standpoint, we know that it is also meant to be a place of protection from invaders as well. So hills can be seen as protection from the valley, protection from the enemy, and even knowing that the enemy doesn't just attack only when you're in the valley. He can attack on a hill or a mountaintop as well. Knowing that hills and valleys are not just referenced as seasons, but also positions as well. So think about what your position will be on a hill and what your position will be in a valley as well. And how will you respond when you're in the valley? And how are you going to respond when you are on a mountain? So we talked a little bit about its historical significance. So let's look a little bit into it from a military significance for a second. So hills provide a major advantage to an army, giving them an elevated firing position and forcing an opposing army to charge uphill to attack them. They may also conceal forces behind them, allowing force to lie in wait on the crest of a hill, using that crest for cover and firing on unsuspecting attackers as they broach the hilltop. As a result, conventional military strategies often demand position of high ground. So hills have been sites of many noted battles. So it's not just always battles in a valley. Hills can also be seen as defense or defensive or being able to defend against invaders or attackers. So again, battles aren't just happening in the valley, but when you are positioned on a hill, you have an advantage over the enemy. And truthfully, I like to think that we always have an advantage over the enemy, but that also depends on your mindset, what you're rooted and grounded in, and what you believe in, and if you are even prepared as well. So the question is, are you positioned and ready when the enemy does try to throw darts at you, when the enemy does try to attack you or pull you down or even to bring you down? And have you been able to put on the full armor of God daily, not just sometimes, but doing that on a daily basis so that you are able to withstand the attacks of the enemy? And do you stand tall? Are you standing tall with your head held high? Are you ready to cast down the attacks of the enemy, even on a hill or as you climb up to the hill? Are your eyes open, looking out and aware of ways that the enemy may try to come in and attack you? So it makes me think of 1 Peter 5:8, which tells us to be alert, to be sober, to be vigilant, because we know our adversary, who is the devil, is prowling around looking for somebody that he wants to devour. So if you search for heal in the Bible, or even in the Blue Letter Bible, which I use often as well. So it's pretty much a Bible study tool that includes a concordance, commentary, definitions, Greek and Hebrew word study tools as well. It's very helpful for word studies. So if you want to take the time to do that, you can feel free to do that. But if you search heal, you'll see that sometimes in the Bible, heal and mountain can be used interchangeably. For the most part, today we are just going to focus on hill. Next week we'll talk a little bit about mountains. And also in the Bible, depending on its context of scripture, it can be referencing a mountain, it can be referencing a country, it could be simply just referencing a hill as well. But upon searching that, two things stood out to me. And one, in reference to the hill, it was the Mount of Transfiguration, which is the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. And then also Matthew 5:14, which reads, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." So I want to dig into that one today. So it's pretty much salt and light is being used by Jesus as images in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you guys want to turn to Matthew 5:13-16, I am actually going to read it. But if you have your Bibles, feel free to pull it out. So starting at verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus is pretty much stating that his disciples, followers, us Christians, believers, should be like salt. So if you think of salt, salt adds flavor. If you look at it from a visual standpoint or from its physical point, is transparent in appearance. So in reading more about this, I want to read two things in reference to "you are the salt of the earth." So disciples are like salt because they are precious. In Jesus's day, salt was a value commodity. So we can look at ourselves as precious, as value commodities. Also, Roman soldiers were sometimes paid with salt, giving rise to the phrase "worth his salt." Another example is disciples are like salt because they have a preserving influence. Salt was used to preserve meats and to slow decay. Christians should have a preserving influence on their culture. So if salt loses its saltiness, we know that it has no value. It's not good for anything. If we lose our flavor, then what good are we? So going back to knowing that we are the light of the world, we know, one, that Jesus is the light, but his light shines in and through us. But knowing that we are the ones who are to be an example while we are here on this earth, an example to be able to shine our light into this dark world so that other people may be able to experience Christ, so they may see what Christ has been able to do in our life, what he's been able to do for us, what he's been able to bring us through, and ultimately for him to be glorified. So Jesus never intended for us to keep him to ourselves. We are to be givers of light. And it states that we are a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. So Jesus wants the world to see our light, not so much drawn attention to ourselves and stating that we've done these miraculous things or what have you, but for the attention to be drawn to him, for the attention to be drawn to God's grace, to God's mercy, to his favor, to his miracles, to his power, to his forgiveness, to his redemption, for us to be able to do it in that way. So we are to be a light into this dark world. God did not intend for us to be hidden, and even for us to be reminded of that on a daily basis. I know sometimes there are people who say, well, I'm saved. Christ has done a work in my life, but whether they're secretive and don't want to share testimonies or what have you, and I'm a secretive person too, but some may not think it because the Lord has me sharing a lot of things that I wouldn't do had he not told me to share it. But in me sharing testimonies and me showing and sharing how God has done things in my life, it has been an opportunity for others to be encouraged. I am able to see how he is able to move and work in their life, and they're able to see some things as well. So just making sure that we are truly understanding our purpose here on this earth. Yes, we are believers. And if you aren't a believer, I pray that you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But knowing that we are to share the gospel, that we are to be a light, that we are to share and talk about God's goodness and his mercy and his power and his favor and just how good that he's been to you, how he's brought you out of a valley season and placed you on a hill, how he's never left you or forsake you, how he's been walking with you, alongside you, even going ahead of you in every season of your life, whether that be good, whether that be bad, whether that be challenging as well. And I believe that that is very significant for the times that we are in right now, because some people are losing hope. Some people are losing faith. Some people have no idea when things are going to get better. Granted, we all don't know, only God knows. But they are in need of a light in this season. And as always, we should be allowing our light to shine, allowing other people to see God's goodness in us and how Christ is in us, and allowing that to draw them to him. But if it was never a better time, I know this sounds bad because it's always a good time, but more than ever, we should be being a light into this dark world. So I'm challenging you, God is challenging you to truly be a light into this world, into your family, your friends, your circle of influence. Also just being able to share how God has delivered you, how he's transformed your life, how he has renewed you, and even sharing about his word. The easiest thing, I know sometimes people say that they don't know the entire Bible. I don't know the entire Bible. That they may not know scripture word for word, and that's absolutely fine. Somebody who wants to be ministered to or needs to be ministered to doesn't always want scripture thrown down their throat or their face or what have you. So one thing that is most relatable to people is you being able to share your testimony, you being able to share how you've been changed, how you've been transformed, how you've been brought out of a dark place, how you've experienced God's blessings. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to do that. So that is what I had today for Hills and Valleys. So we're going to continue to dig a little bit deeper. I don't want to overwhelm us today, but to make sure that we're keeping those two things in mind as far as our viewpoint and our posture on a hill or a mountain, as well as knowing that we are sought in light and we are to be the light of this world. So that is our time for devotion for today. I pray that that has encouraged you or just kind of spoke to you in some type of way. We will go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer on this morning. During our time in prayer, even during this week as well, I want to just ask if you all can just lift up those who are struggling mentally, specifically in regards to, you know, being in the pandemic. So just praying for the mental health of all people, also praying for children, also praying for the mental health of children, as well as the health of children and all school administrators and just the health of everybody in this world and continuous healing too. But mental health has been something that has been on my heart and on my spirit to pray this last week. So just wanted you all to join in as we have seen an increase in whether it be suicides or anxiety or depression and things like that. So we will go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer on this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for just showing us your word, for revealing to us new things in your word, and even some things that may not have been new, but just bringing it to our attention and allowing us to be able to see the significance and the importance of it as well, oh God. So I pray, Father, that you will help us to be salt and light in this world, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will continue to allow your light to shine in and through us, oh God, that other people may see how you are working in and through our lives, how you have worked in and through our lives, how you have brought us through many seasons and challenges and even good times and blessings in our life as well, oh God. I pray, Father, that as our light begins to shine into this dark world, oh God, that it will be able to draw people closer to you, oh God. So I pray, Father, that you will use us as vessels for your kingdom, oh God. I pray, Father, that you will allow us to be able to plant seeds here on this earth, oh God, where we are able to share your word, where we are able to share your gospel, oh God, so that other people may be able to experience who you are, but most importantly, that they are able to experience Christ as their Lord and Savior, oh God, that they are able to experience the forgiveness and redemption, oh God, that you have granted to us, oh God, and also allowing them to be able to know and be confident and certain that they will experience eternal life in heaven, oh God. So we ask, Father, that you will use us as vessels to expand your kingdom, oh God. We ask, Father, that you will give us the courage, that you will give us the boldness to speak your word, to share the gospel, to speak a word of encouragement, oh God, to minister to other people. Help us to know, Father, that it's not just a pastor's job or a minister's job or an evangelist's job to go out and share the word and share the gospel and to be able to minister to other people, but you have called us as believers that it is a commandment, Father, for us to be able to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth, oh God, sharing your word, Father. So I ask, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen us and build us up so that we are able to do that, oh God. I ask, Father, that you will help us to know that we don't have to worry about the exact words that we say, that it doesn't have to be said in a perfect manner, that we don't have to be Bible scholars, that all we have to do is just share what you have done for us, oh God. So we thank you, Father, for your redemption, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your saving grace. We thank you, Father, for your power, oh God. We thank you for your power that changes, your power that is able to transform, oh God, your power that is able to set free, oh God, your power that is able to deliver, oh God. So we pray, Lord, that this world may be able to experience an increase in deliverance, oh God, that people are set free from strongholds, oh God, that they are able to experience you in new ways and miraculous ways, oh God. We come before you, Father, just praying for healing over this entire world, over our nation, oh God. We even thank you in all that's happening in this world, even though it may seem like it's something that we shouldn't be thankful for. But we know, Lord, that you are working all things out for good, that what is going on in our world is for a reason and it is for a purpose, oh God. So help us to stand on your word. Help us to stand on your truth, oh God, that you are not a man that you shall lie, that you are a promise keeper. We thank you, Father, for the revival that's happening. We thank you, Father, for spiritual awakening, oh God. We thank you, Father, for spiritual revival, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you are exposing evil and wickedness and things that are not like you, oh God. We ask, Father, that you will continue and even begin to even allow us to acknowledge the things that we do and say that are not of and like you, Father. and help us to, on a daily basis, confess of our sins, asking you to search our hearts daily of anything that we may have missed that we have not confessed, oh God, anything that we may not have even thought that it was a sin that we may have skipped over during our time of prayer. We ask, Lord, that you will remind us of those things, oh God. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit will convict us, oh God, and we ask that as we are convicted, that we are obedient to that conviction, that we're turning away from it, oh God, that we're not just confessing our sins, but that we are repenting, oh God, that we are truly turning away from it and seeking you, oh God, for us to have a changed mindset, for us to have a changed heart, for us to have a changed life, oh God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are our healer. We thank you, Father, that you are our ultimate healer, oh God, that you are our provider, that you are Jehovah Jireh, oh God. We thank you, Father, for providing for us daily, oh God. We thank you that you are the one who knows our needs before we even know what we need. So we thank you that you've met every need. We thank you, Lord, that you've already worked out things behind the scenes, that we are able to have everything that we need in this life, oh God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. We thank you that we're even able to wake up this morning and to give you thanks, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it, oh God. We ask, Father, that you will help us to just navigate through whatever season that we're in right now, whether it's a season of valleys, oh God, or whether it's a season of hills and mountains where we are experiencing your blessings in many, many ways in our lives, oh God. We ask, Father, that daily that you will help us to assume a posture of prayer, oh God, a posture where we're able to seek you in all things, oh God, a posture where we're reading your word and grounded in it and we're anchored in it, oh God, that nothing around us can shake us because we know who you are. We know what you are capable of doing. So we even thank you right now, Father, that you are a God of the impossible, oh God, that even when we can't understand how things are going to work out in our lives, oh God, we give you all the thanks right now, Father, because we know that you have a plan. We thank you, Father, that your plan is bigger than anything that we can ever think of or even do on our own, oh God. So help us, Father, to continue to be led by you daily, oh God. Help us to continue to stay on the path of righteousness, oh God. Help us to truly, truly turn away from our sins, oh God. We know, Father, that we fall short daily, oh God, but we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your forgiveness, oh God. We're thankful, Father, for many chances. We're thankful for the endless chances that you continue to give us. So help us not to take advantage of that, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you that your mercies are new every single morning, oh God. We thank you, Father, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, oh God. We thank you, Father, for keeping evil from us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to send forth your angels to encamp all around us, oh God, that you will be our hedge of protection, oh God, that they will serve as the ministering spirits that you have called for them to be, oh God. We plead Psalm 91 over our lives on this morning, oh God, over our families' lives, oh God, over our friends' lives, oh God, over every single person that is connected to us, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives. We ask, Lord, that you will keep all sicknesses, all diseases, and all illnesses from us, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask, Father, that you will help us to do your will, to walk in your way, oh God, and to fulfill the purpose that you have for each and every one of our lives, oh God. I pray that our faith is increased on this week, oh God. I pray, Lord, that our trust in you is increased on this week, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we praise you more on this week, that we worship you more this week, not just turning on praise and worship music, oh God, but truly speaking and adoring you, oh God. Thanking you for who you are, thanking you for who you've been to us, oh God. Taking your names, the names of God in prayer, oh God. thanking you for your righteousness, oh God. Thanking you for your goodness and your kindness, oh God. Being able to speak of your attributes and your characteristics, oh God. And as we worship you, Father, I ask, Lord, that you will help us to have those same characteristics and attributes, oh God. Help us to be more like you, Father. Help us to be led by your Spirit, oh God, that we may be able to produce and even see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, oh God, of love, of joy, of peace, of kindness, of gentleness, oh God, of self-control, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to do life on our own, that we have you to lead and guide us through, oh God. So continue to be with us on this week, Lord. Continue to watch over this world. Allow us all to be able to be changed daily, Father. I ask, Lord, that you will renew us, that you will empty out everything that's not like you, oh God, and that you will fill us up to full and overflow, oh God. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, oh God. We thank you for how you have already been using us, Lord, and we thank you for how you're getting ready to use us to be blessings and to be lights into this world, oh God. So we thank you, we praise you, and it is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you all so much for tuning in once again for our time of devotion and prayer. We will continue our series of hills and valleys on next week, talking more about mountains as well as some specific things in the valley. So thank you for tuning in. Please feel free to share this with someone if it has encouraged you so that other people may be encouraged and hear a word from the Lord on today. As always, if you have any prayer requests, any praise reports that you want to share, you can always put them in the comments. I come back to read them. Many of you place them or send them in my direct messages or email. So my email is hello@aspiritualwarrior.com. I also encourage you all to join our Bible scripture challenge for this month. We are reading 1 Peter and 2 Peter, which is encouraging the persecuted Christians and also encouraging us and making us aware to be aware of false prophets. So thank you so much. Have a blessed and amazing day and a blessed and amazing week. And I'll see you next Monday.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Make sure that you check out the show notes, and I'll chat with you next time. Be blessed.